You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Shogger, how you doing?
Good, buddy. Good, good, good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Lots of news around the Oilers. Mike Smith's thumb, which he spoke about, said we heard it on the second breakaway in overtime against the New Jersey Devils. Missed a few games, played in Toronto, and now they get an MRI, and it's still partially torn, so he's out a week to two. If it's 1 week, he misses one game. If it's 2 weeks, he likely misses five. So not ideal news, especially when you consider that Stuart Skinner might not be available, at least for this one game. He would be available after that, but because they got some COVID issues in Bakersfield, too.
Yeah, they're going to need Mikko Koskinen here. This is the thing. Like, Smith has been, I don't want to use the word unreliable because it sounds like I'm being hard on him. But they haven't been able to count on him being available. And it's just decimated the plan in net. The plan in net was for Smith to be the starter and Koskinen to be the backup and get a good number of starts for a backup and for both of them to play in acceptable amounts. And, none of that's been able to happen. The goaltending's been a mess. Just an absolute mess. And so now, getting Skinner back here isn't a guarantee. They need Koskinen. And so where's Mikko Koskinen at with his game, with his confidence, with how he's feeling about things? Real interesting little stretch of time here. And, they need Mikko Koskinen right now. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, they're going to need him, and, we'll see. To me, history shows, man, I don't have to – expecting Mikko Koskinen to magically suddenly be great is unrealistic. Can he be good and serviceable for a few games? Yes, sure he can. But he is not, and if you're the only reason they need him is because Smith gets injured, well, it still doesn't change the fact that you could still recall Stuart Skinner and you could still play him.
Well, Skinner, they're trying to get Skinner back. And my guess is that, Koskinen will play Saturday because Skinner's probably going to have some, tough logistics here trying to clear COVID protocols in Baco. They're having some issues there. Get here. My guess is that Koskinen will play Saturday. But if this is 2 weeks, I bet you Skinner plays as many games as Koskinen between now and when Smith gets back. They're not bringing him just to back up and to just ride the pine. Like, he's played well enough. He deserves starts. If they're going to have him here, play him. And I think, with a choice between Koskinen and Skinner, they were going to leave Skinner in the minors and let Koskinen play through it. Now that they have to have Skinner here, I think they're going to play him a reasonable amount.
Well, they should, which is that was my whole argument on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He's played well enough.
Well, no, your argument was that Skinner should be there in the backup position instead of Koskinen, which is a different discussion than Smith's not available, now what?
Well, no, but even though it wasn't even that, it wasn't even in a backup because Ken Holland said they're looking at splitting duties. So I would have rather split duties with Skinner.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But so they weren't willing to do that before. They wanted to let Mikko get back in the net and see what he could do. You felt, no, go Smith and Skinner because Skinner's numbers have been better, which is totally fair. What I'm saying is now that they have no choice but to have Skinner here, I think they're going to play him. Before, they were willing to play Koskinen significantly ahead of him. I think now, since he's going to be here, they want him playing games, and I think we'll see him play. So I don't know if he'll be here in time or if it makes sense to have him start the next game. But, and if Koskinen gets a win against Ottawa, well, now what? What do you do? Do you start him, 4 days later?
Well, no, it's like they would play. They play Saturday and Thursday is right now the schedule. Unless they somehow squeeze in when the new schedule comes out a game in between. But I was told that doesn't seem to be in the plans. It's going to start again on the 20th and then go from there.
Yeah, right. So what if Koskinen wins on Saturday? Do you still play? I think you'd probably still play Skinner anyways because you don't want this goalie just sitting there not playing games. Like, if you're going to have him here, put him in games. Let him play. And, go back and forth with them. Or if Skinner plays well, give him a couple starts in a row. Or, make it clear that it's there to be had for whichever guy decides to find his game. not that Skinner hasn't had his game, but whichever guy decides to grab this while Smith is out, let it be more of an open jump ball for the role than it has been in the past, where Koskinen was just given the bulk of the starts when Mike Smith wasn't available.
Ryan Rashawk from TSN joins us. The other factor is that the rest of the team's got to play better. It's never just the goaltender. I've been saying that the entire time. And I crunched some numbers today on the Oilers in their 2-9-2 skid. And not a lot of things have looked very good at all. But one thing, because, you know, there's always a lot of talk about the bottom six has got to be better. The bottom six has got to be better. No question. I don't doubt the bottom six. But their top two lines have not been good in the 2-9-2 stretch at all. And here's some numbers to back that. So with McDavid and Draisaitl on the ice, and sometimes that's together, and sometimes it's separate, right? It's kind of irrelevant when they're on the ice, because, you know, some people say even if they're on the ice for a shift and you're playing with your fourth line, well, then that's not your fourth line because those two are on it. I'm like, okay, so I took away any minutes when they're I only focused on when they were on the ice and when they weren't. And in the first 21 games of the season, when they were on the ice, they had a 3.63 goals for per 60 and a 2.35 goals against per 60. So they were plus, you know, 130. Good. The team itself, without them was 157 goal for and 342 goals against. Awful in the first, 21 games. So no question. Now in the last 13 games, when McDavid and Draisaitl were on the ice, 374 minutes, they had a 2.4 goals, for and a 3.21 goals against. So if you look at where they went from the first 21 games to the last 13, they went from being plus 1.28 to minus 8-1. That's almost a difference of like full two. So we can talk about the depth scoring need to improve, and it does, no question. But the top guys, they were getting their lunch fed to them goals against in that situation, and they got to be better when they're on the ice defensively, the top two lines of the Edmonton Oilers.
And was that at evens?
Yes, 5-on-5. I'm not talking power play. I'm not talking penalty. I never do. I just do it on 5-on-5.
Just clarifying, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, good numbers. Certainly paint a picture. I don't think anybody would suggest that McDavid and Draisaitl have been fine through this and that the issue is their goaltending and their bottom six and that's it. Like, they're right in there with everybody else in terms of, you know, guys that need to do more to get the team out of this. Their production came back down to earth, right? Their power play production, their even strength production, it all came back down to earth. It was like in a different stratosphere before. And so I think some of those numbers were going to regress in that way, but the goals against is the part that you go, okay, well, why did that have to change, right? If the puck isn't going in as much, if your shooting percentage fault comes back down to earth, if a bunch of other factors, you know, and it normalizes, okay, what about the goals against? Why has that gone the wrong way? And I think that's totally fair. Now, part of that's goaltending, because the goaltending has fallen off. It hasn't been as good. So the 5-on-5 save percentage, I would guess, you know, probably isn't what it was before. But they're right in there, too. They're not entirely off the hook for what's happened here. They're on the ice more than anybody else. So, of course, their play is going to affect the outcome as well. So I don't know that anybody was trying to let them off the hook. I don't think blaming them for it is necessarily fair. Like, they're still producing a lot, but they definitely are right along with everybody else in terms of share the blame and needing to be better.
Well, but their production, though, is down significantly, right?
Yeah.
So, I know when they, for what their production is used to, hey, that's why you get paid the big bucks, right? It's hard, and everybody goes through funks. But for 13 games, the both of them would tell you that their production needs to be better. But it's more so the goals against I was talking about. They're leaking significantly goals against the top two lines. And funny enough, in that time period, the bottom six, their scoring was virtually the same. But their goals against went down significantly. They weren't the ones who were, like, so it was actually more the top six that was getting crushed here in the last 13 games. The bottom six is still getting outscored because they don't score much, but their goals against was equivalent to basically what the top six was in the first 21 games, but the top six just kind of got folded here defensively in the last 13.
Yeah, I think from your bottom six, like, numbers aside, you look at your bottom six and you say, are there players here who are making a difference often enough. So whether that's, you know, important shifts in games where you're protecting leads or important momentum shifts after goals, or are there guys who are playing the game in a way that, you know, is providing the team with something? I'm talking about individual performances. And I would say for quite a while there, it didn't feel like it. Then all of a sudden, you started getting some better games from Ryan McLeod. Tyler Benson found a different intensity level in his game. That started to get a little bit better. So a little bit of an uptick there. There have been some more positive signs just in terms of individual shift-to-shift contributions recently. I think it's hurt them that they haven't been able to play games here, because I think they were getting close to pulling themselves out of that awful rut that they were in. And, you know, maybe it's better because COVID's had a chance to kind of run through their roster, and if they were trying to play games through that entire thing, it might have been ugly. But I feel like they were trending in the right direction and there were more meaningful contributions more often. And then all of a sudden it all just got shut down and they haven't been able to play enough games. And I don't know what they're going to start with here. I have no idea what they'll have to get going here. If it'll be, they'll pick up where they left off, or if, you know, they struggle finding it. I'm not sure. There's a real ebb and flow to pulling yourself out of something like that, and to have it interrupted throws everything out of whack.
Yeah, you know, the Oilers say they play one game. It'll be one game in 10 days. They haven't played a lot of games. Hey, but neither of the Ottawa Senators. They'll play tonight in Calgary, and that's their first game since January 1st and only their second game since December 18th. So, both teams will probably be a little rusty at times in this game on Saturday, but make no mistake, Edmonton can't go into this game. I don't care who's playing goal. I don't care who's playing defense or center. They can't. It's inexcusable to lose to the 30th place team who's played two games in basically a month.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, this is one of those ones. We said it before it all got postponed and shut down. That was a really important game for them to just establish that they can take care of some level of business here. Like, throw a game out there that can get you by that team. And then they were going to have a break, and the difference between winning or losing that game heading into a break. Well, their break came first. But even still, you lose to Ottawa, now you got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday game day before you get a chance to get out there and play again. So it's potentially another 4.5-5 days of the team being down, and more disappointment and more questions and more media availabilities that are painful for everybody, and more. Like, that game against Ottawa is going to be important for them to set a tone for, you know, picking up here. And if they don't, it's just going to be another week of negative energy and negativity.
Oh, 100%, man. For the psyche of the team, there's no question. They could use a victory for sure. Now, Yamamoto and Cuckoo are out today. Bouchard, Perlini is supposed to be tomorrow, maybe even Fogel, right? But that's if they don't have any, you know, if they still, you know, that's 5 days plus, then you have to clear. So we don't even know who's going to be in the lineup for the team on Saturday.
No. No, we don't. And was Cuckoo out there today? Did somebody? I thought he was.
Or no, wasn't he?
Sorry. And I may be wrong. I thought Tip said something about how Yamo was cleared and Cuckoo wasn't. It's just.
Oh, okay.
Because I think. I might be wrong. He may have been out there. I wasn't looking for him specifically. I think what happens is when guys come out of COVID protocol, I think they need the myocardiogram done. It's something you get done on your heart I think it checks for myocarditis, or it's like a stress test on the heart or something like that. So I believe there's an extra layer that they have to get done before they get cleared. So it's timing it between your quarantining for long enough, then getting that test on the right day, and then being cleared to get out there. So it's a little bit tricky. It's not just about test results, I don't think. Those things need to line up.
Yes, agreed. That's why I'm saying they don't even know, just because some guys will be the 5 days, they don't know for sure if Bouchard or Perlini or Fogel or Benson will even be available.
Well, and you've got guys that haven't gotten it yet, and the way it's gone, like, it's been working its way through everybody, right? So, I mean, we even see that Holloway ended up with it. you know, and they've still got guys, important players, that haven't had it yet.
Six.
That if it continues to go the
seven.
Way it has.
Yeah, technically yeah. Seven now with Skinner recalled. So there's the three goalies, one defenseman, and three forwards.
Yeah, so you got Hyman, right? Still hasn't. You know, there's an important player. So there's still going to be some kind of tests being done and waiting with bated breath to see if it's going to hit these guys that haven't had it yet. They're not out of the woods in terms of important players that could get yanked out from underneath them last minute.
Yes, no, it's true. It's very true. So we'll see how it goes. Shara, we'll see. Skinner, he's being recalled, by the way. Now, he's being recalled officially to the taxi squad. And likely, because, you know, you're on the taxi squad, don't count against a cap. It's all about cap stuff. And then you could probably see him move to, from the taxi squad to the actual roster, by the time they need to do that. But, you know, recall to the taxi squad first, gives you a little bit of leeway, right now for salary cap reasons. So keep that in mind. Jogger, have a good one.
You too, buddy.